Hi, we're Karina and Sarah, two best friends who've joined together to bring you conversations that explore the intertwined roles that mind, body, heart, and soul play in the story of your life. Together, we bring our passion for understanding life, here and beyond, into conversations that take a deep dive into what it is to live this human experience from the soul. We combine my decades of journalistic investigation and storytelling with Sarah's decades of investigating the human heart as a cardiac imaging specialist. Throw in a rare life-threatening disease and a near-death experience and the insights and wisdom gained from these, and you get soul-to-soul conversations. We invite you to come along as we unpack life and navigate our way along the journey. We'll explore life lived from the inside out and empower you to live your authentic life, a life of true meaning and purpose, one that is aligned with your heart and soul. Welcome to Soul Conversations. I'm Karina Machado.
And I'm Sarah Jane.
We are so excited to be here today. We're like little kids in a lolly shop.
Yeah, finally. It's been a long time coming.
Our podcast has definitely been a long time coming. So there's a lot to talk to you about today. We're not going to keep it very long though today. We've got so much to share. But for today, we want to tell you a bit about ourselves, who we are, and what this is about.
And just introduce what this whole podcast is going to be about. Yeah. And we hope everyone comes along on our little journey of exploring, talking to each other and you, the listeners, about all things soul.
All things soul. And I love how you describe it as the whole human experience. Yeah. So soul is not something that's outside of us. It's within, it's without, and it's enmeshed within our human experience.
Mm. And our conversation started a few years ago about this, and I think all along we've been saying, oh, it's just a conversation that keeps going, and we just...
There's value in it. We've been asked to talk about it more. I know that when I speak with Sarah... you'll see me here with my notebook. I'm always taking notes, and we thought there's value here, and you might want to come along with us for this conversation and listen in.
And the journo, the journo. So a little bit more about who we are.
Yes.
And you start.
Okay. So I'm Karina, and I have been a journalist for more than a couple of decades now. I'm an author of three books: Spirit Sisters, Where Spirits Dwell, and Love Never Dies. And I host my own podcast as well, a separate podcast to this one called Spirit Sisters, where I discuss, I interview guests who share their sacred stories with me, their sacred journeys. And that's how I met Sarah. So we'll talk more about that. But that question...
The path I was on, I don't think our lives would have intersected.
That is...
We walked into very different worlds, really.
We definitely did. We definitely did. And that's a really interesting topic to discuss, how, you know, life led us to meet very late in life and gather so much from that relationship and that friendship. And we sometimes say, oh, had we met earlier, but then it wouldn't have been right. We wouldn't have been able to speak each other's languages. Yeah.
No, because I've walked in the medical field my whole, right up until now, and was very much immersed in cardiac specialty, and that was... really my whole, I'll admit, I was a workaholic. It was my whole life. Have children, but it was very much my passion, everything. I loved the heart. I still do. It's fascinates me. It always has. It's held me fascinated from a very young age. My father being a cardiologist, I really couldn't imagine any other life other than the heart being everything. And that was my language and reference point and context for it all. And I really would never, I don't think, have stepped outside of that world for our worlds to collide or intersect. And I'm very grateful it did. And that's probably leads us to how we actually did meet. Quick snapshot, was diagnosed with a rare life-threatening autoimmune disease when I was 40, and the next 10 years was pretty much spent in and out of hospital, mostly in, having treatment, and eventually led to me dying and having a near-death experience and coming back. And Karina heard about my story and reached out for me to be on her podcast, Spirit Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on that interview.
Yeah.
And became friends very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was meant to be, and then we were able to be in each other's lives for a significant moment for both of us, and help each other through these last few years together.
Where everything changed.
Everything changed. So it's amazing how life supports you. Like, we have invisible guidance and support. And I just want to pick up on the name of the podcast, Soul to Soul Conversations, because that word, soul, was not in your repertoire prior to NDE.
No, it wasn't. It was not my language.
Yeah.
My language was all medical and scientific, and I struggle to think of a time. Sure, you hear it in a song, like you hear someone singing, or maybe in poetry or in philosophy. Of course, I would have read philosophy or heard it in a song.
Yes.
But it didn't resonate as anything that I would give more than, not even a second thought to.
Yeah.
Not even a moment. It was not, it really wasn't enough to capture me to be even curious about what does that mean. And I now look back and go, well, that's just ridiculous. I have a very curious mind. I'm very inquisitive about everything I feel, and it actually I now cannot believe I didn't go more into trying to understand what more is there to life, to existence, to especially working in the cardiac field and having people die in front of me and resuscitating. And I really didn't even give thought to what happens next, other than accepting what you're told is you die, that's it.
Lights out.
End of story. And I just accepted that and didn't challenge it within myself. Now I know differently from my own personal experience, and it's very interesting how it's changed not only how I view it, but how I talk about everything. This whole human experience has changed because of my NDE. And now we speak a very similar language.
Yeah.
But it has informed how I've traveled through the different, like all the different stages of this transformation post-NDE, where my marriage has ended. I'm back single in my early 50s, and I'm single. I've no longer work in the cardiac field. I am stepping into soul work and into health and well-being consulting. And it's I'm very different to that person 5 years ago and even a year ago.
Yes.
And I know we'll talk about that more.
A year ago,
The journey we've had going and doing the Camino, and how much, and that brings us to when we were originally going to launch this podcast on the Camino.
That's right. But before you pick up on that, I just want to acknowledge your courage for, you know, that huge transformation that you've gone from complete scientific foundation. You know, the paradigm of your life was science, and you know, you did not allow these thoughts about the other place or soul or spirit, or, you know, none of those words or concepts. And now look, you are the soul. Like, in our conversation day to day over a cup of coffee, you will mention the soul. It will just come up. So it's so different.
That's whereas so funny.
My journey was completely opposite in a way. Like, I was always, I think I lived more in that world always than I did in the external world, which, you know, I'm not, since, you know, necessarily recommending, but a big part of this journey on the Camino and post Camino has been about grounding and returning me to my body in a way. But so it's just such an interesting dynamic between us, because you were so much of the external world, whereas I, from childhood, was all about wanting to understand what it was that propelled life, like what was behind life, and what happened when supposedly life ended. Mm. I always had a sense that it didn't end, that there was more. And I don't think I had that sense because I was, you know, a naturally gifted medium or anything like that. My path was more around just a firm knowing.
Which I did not have.
Yeah.
So or I didn't acknowledge or let it have voice within me. And maybe it is that conditioned bias of growing up very much immersed in a medical household. Maybe it was that I actually do believe we all have just a very deep hidden knowing that there's something more. Yes. And I think we're all searching that. And as we age and we get older, I think that's when we start asking that question more and more of ourselves and of life. That surely there's something more. Surely it's not just this game, like this little show that we perform and then it's all done. Yeah. Surely there's more to this. And
surely
there's a reason.
Yeah.
Like, why am I here? I think we all end up at some point in our lives staring into the mirror saying, who am I?
Mm.
What's this all about? Why are we here? What's this all about? I think that's, and maybe that's the seeking that we're all finding. And I think we were talking about this last night or yesterday, how our stories, I think we search within other people's stories for understanding of our own.
Yes.
And that's very much part of why I want to tell my story a little bit, because I know I've searched within others' stories to try and comprehend my own heartbreak or my own, whatever it was I was confronted with, illness or heartbreak or professionally or personally.
Yeah.
I think we all seek out the answers from one another and possibly discover the answers are also in the similarities that we all have, but also within ourselves.
Yes.
We hold a great wealth within ourselves.
Yes. And it's the other stories that help us to sort of tap into that reservoir. Yeah,
to see that.
And that's another reason why we've been brought together too, I think. You know, this idea that stories have been my currency. I'm a storyteller and I love to support other people to bring their stories out. And I've got a real conviction that each of us has a gift and a story to share. And it's so important to bring those out. And that's how we're like little lanterns lighting up the world, you know,
if we do that. I think that's true. I think our stories help bring each of us to life or help us have the courage to see the thing within us that we truly want to bring to life.
Yes.
And I know within my own story, there have been so many different stories. It's like so many different chapters within my own book of being a young girl and being a mum and my profession and being a wife. And they're all so many different stories and they're all so different to who I am now. I'm the same person, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think we all can say that as we get to this point in life.
Yeah.
There's so many different chapters and I think we're both at the point where we're starting new chapters.
Yes.
And I am very lucky. I feel very lucky to have a friend that I can talk to navigate those bits that seem scary or foreign or hard, and also be able to anchor back into the insights and wisdom I got from my NDE that's helped me look at life really differently. And navigate this human experience from a different standpoint, from a different place within myself. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, is because I think it's important that we all share our stories.
Yep. And also, hun, weren't you, you had the sense in your NDE or the instruction that you had to share.
And that gets us to us starting it all. This whole journey.
This is a funny story. This whole journey. It is funny.
I at the end of our first interview on Spirit Since Sisters 4 years ago, I had this crazy idea. Who decides this after being so sick? I don't know. That I was going to walk across Spain and do the Camino. And at the very end of our interview, I mentioned it. And you said, oh, I'm coming. And that's exactly what happened.
You said, start training. Yeah. And I said, I'm coming. Yeah.
And 4 years later, we found ourselves in Spain. No, actually, it's Saint-Jean in France, because you start in Saint-Jean. And it's an 800, for those of you who don't know the Camino, it's an 800-kilometre hike across Spain, and you start in the Pyrenees. And it was,
wow,
it was the most amazing experience for us both. Mm. But our intention was to start, to launch this podcast back then in May, the end of May 2023.
Yeah. We thought we'd walk and talk. That was the idea, that because that's what we do, Sarah and I. We walk and talk, and we talk and talk and walk and walk. And on our training walks or here, you know, along the beach, we're walking and walking. So we thought, kind of naively.
How easy.
Yeah.
How easy would that be?
The way I describe it is Mother Camino very lovingly kicked our butts pretty quickly. Oh, and showed us, but with such an immense amount of love and compassion.
Even before we put one foot on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The lessons began. We knew that the Camino would instruct us, but it began with...
It began with the packing, how much we had packed. We very soon, I'll say day minus one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before day one, minus one, we arrived with big bags full of everything we thought we would need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we looked at them and went, oh, my goodness, we cannot do this.
No, no.
And we culled, I think, 3/4 of what we had and shipped it on to Santiago de Compostela.
Yeah, to the end of the pilgrimage where it awaited us.
And travelled very lightly. And that, I'd never done that before. That was so freeing and so, it was liberating and it just felt light.
Yeah.
I literally felt lighter because of that one decision.
Obviously that figurative idea too of lighten your load, immediately began to tell us, let go of what you're carrying.
We've been carrying so much around in the previous years with personal relationships, and it was almost like taking that off our shoulders and leaving all that behind as we walked towards the new, which we didn't know was going to be the path. You don't know what's going to unfold.
You don't. I mean, in a way you know where you're going, but in a way you don't.
You have no idea. You have no idea what it's going to be. So the first lesson was very, very quickly learnt.
Mm.
And as we've found since we've come back, lighten your load. You don't need so many possessions or so much stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I realised after coming home is that a lot of what was in my backpack, my metaphorical backpack, wasn't even my own pain. So now I'm talking about ancestral things, you know, and old wounds from generations back. And that's something we can discuss in another podcast. But
we're trying to make notes about what we feel will be really interesting topics to discuss. And also, I think one of the suggestions that we have discussed together is the ability to put, for you the listeners, to put comments down about topics that you'd like us to talk about in future episodes. So please feel free to do that. We really welcome
definitely
any feedback with, and as we go on and talk about my near-death experience and all other experiences that have followed and preceded that, there's probably a lot more that I haven't even thought about that might interest.
That's right.
Or even the human experience of...
The human experience.
Walking through
the Camino.
A marriage breakdown at this, and walking into it like a new identity almost and a new career and everything being different. And that's probably one of the most important things that we didn't realise was going to happen. And the Camino was a 4-week hike for us.
Yes.
And it is for most, that time frame. And if we had have launched the Camino, the podcast at the beginning of the Camino, we would have, the girls we were that walked off that Camino were not the girls that started. We were so different in that process of walking and self, I call it like an excavation from within.
Definitely.
Like going within, even though you're in this expansive walk in this beautiful country, it does lead you within, and that process of excavating out and leaving behind what you no longer need, what does not serve you. It's like our bags. We literally left 3/4 of that baggage behind and walked off it much lighter and with more clarity of self and direction.
Definitely.
And potentially what we intended this podcast to be about has also transformed quite a bit in the last year. So we're...
That's right, because our own understanding of who we are has expanded. You know, it's more expansive. So we can talk more about that question, who are you? Like even that issue of how to introduce myself is something that seems very simple. But if you excavate a little bit.
I was struggling with that. And we actually discussed that before we were going to film our first episode. I was struggling with how do I introduce myself because I don't identify as my married name anymore, but that's what I still had. I hadn't legally changed my name to anything else, and I didn't know what to change it to. It felt wrong to go, for my own reasons of going back to a maiden name. I didn't want to belong to anyone else or become like my husband's name or my father's name. I just wanted to be my name. And all I could come up with was the only names that have always been me was my first name and my middle name. And that's all that felt like me anymore. Nothing else felt like me. That's my puppy dog, Winnie. And so that's what I've, over the last year, legally changed my name to Sarah Jane. And now I'm quite comfortable in introducing myself as that. But back then... And I didn't know.
We stumbled a few times trying to film it. So it felt like we were blocked from doing it.
Oh,
and
gosh, the setup.
And yeah, so we gave up wisely, I think. But also, the Camino asks a lot of you, and it would not have been the right time to launch something that is a big project like this when we're actually just living into more of ourselves and excavating at the same time.
It's not only physically demanding.
Yeah, yeah.
The internal, walk. That internal walk is just as hard as the external physical walk.
Exactly. And then you reach the end and it's just the beginning.
Yeah. And I think that's something else that we have discussed in the last couple of months since coming back is how important the lessons and the wisdom of the Camino and how they've informed us
Definitely.
With changes that we're stepping into in this human experience, this little human experiment, how we've able to consolidate the lessons of the Camino into our own lives, as well as lessons of an NDE and lessons of the many people that you've interviewed that have had near-death experiences or spiritual experiences. And the combination of all of that, of decades of looking into others' hearts.
And decades of telling others' stories and about to tell my own now in a different way that I've never told it before as well.
We'll combine all that and hopefully have some really interesting conversations moving forward.
It was an interesting alignment that we made today, speaking about the Camino and reintegrating back into, quote-unquote, your normal life.
Your old life.
And aligning that with a near-death experience and returning and trying to integrate it into, quote-unquote, your normal life and the challenges that both present. So they're two parallel journeys or the same journey, you know, expressing differently.
Yeah, it's been very similar for me in that, and we do intend to go into, our next episode, I would really like to share my near-death experience for those who haven't heard me on other platforms or on Karina's Spirit Sisters, and I invite you to go. We could actually put links to that.
Yes, we'll put the links
in the show notes underneath for those who want to see or hear other interviews.
Yep.
We will go into that because I think it's really important. It does preface and give context to quite a lot of what we now talk about.
That's right.
All the time. And the reintegration process after an NDE, coming back into your body in physical form and then trying to live your old life, isn't discussed a lot. And when you have a near death and you don't even know what
that experience is. I hadn't even heard of near-death experience, like literally hadn't even heard of the term when I had one and didn't even know what to call it, what to think of it. Definitely don't talk about it, because I thought I would be labelled as someone who had just lost her mind and pretty much kept it under wraps until you came into my life. And I thank you for that, because it's given me a voice and an ability to express something that was, I think, is a really, I think it helps us all understand what this is.
Thank you.
And if that's the question we're all asking, who am I and what is this? I think near-death experiences can help us understand.
Absolutely.
What is this? What's this thing that we're doing here on earth? What are we all doing?
Absolutely.
And what's it about? And I'm really interested in sharing my story to help us all understand that a little bit better, because then I think it helps us navigate this with a little bit more love for self and others, and compassion and forgiveness and joy and gratitude and all those lovely great things that we get to do here. And but it's challenging. It is that's the upside. The downside is the person that you're coming back after a near death, there are challenges to that reintegration back into human form and living the human experience, which I, you know, would love to talk to it a little bit later on further episodes. But very similar to the Camino, coming back to your old life. And it feels uncomfortable if the life you're coming back to wasn't the one that's in alignment with what you're here to live.
Yeah.
It feels like really uncomfortable, like putting on a prickly suit that's not, like, I felt it when I came back from the Camino, and that's going back to what I said earlier.
Yeah, I felt that
the
too.
The girls that walked off that Camino in 4 short weeks.
Yeah.
But that's not impossible or improbable, considering a near-death experience can be 10 minutes or, depending on the experiencer, a minute, 10 minutes, 30, some of 30 minutes. In that short time frame, and I'll put time in.
Yes, we can talk about time in a whole separate episode.
In time, which is our little human illusion, in that space, transforms everything. Changes everything. And so
I think we were willing, though. I think that's the other thing. Like, we went on that.
I don't think there was any other choice.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you walk to the end of the road and you know this is the end of the road. And I either turn back and go back or I go on a different path because this road has ended.
Yes.
And I don't want to go backwards.
Yep.
It's felt wrong. And we can just, like,
going backwards. Yeah,
Camino,
that's a whole.
I got lost.
Yeah.
Lost one day, which wasn't lost. I was going where I should go, not knowingly. It felt, I tried to turn around and go back, and it felt so wrong. And I literally couldn't do it.
I had the same experience, actually.
And now I recognize that feeling within myself in walking through life.
Yeah.
If I try to do a U-turn and go back to something that that's not for me, that I shouldn't be living that job or with that person, or I recognize it now and I'm like, I can't go backwards. The only choice is to go forwards.
Yes.
There's no other choice. It's uncomfortable and it will lead to pain.
Yeah.
And eventually you will take that other path or that other road.
Yeah.
Because eventually the pain gets too much. The suffering gets too much in that choice or in that. You've got no other choice. I think you and I had reached a point.
We had.
There was no other choice.
Yeah, and I've described it before, the Camino, as shining a giant floodlight on the inner life. As you walk, the inner life, everything that is churning in there, ready or not, it's going to come up to be seen, and it's in the spotlight, and it's best to look. If you want to heal it, it's best to look. But
it's fun, right? If we can look at transformation or change or what we're being urged to see that's within, if someone else is mirroring that towards us, it doesn't have to be pain. It doesn't have to be suffering.
That's right.
It could be looked at with curiosity. It could be looked at with gratitude that I see it and now I can make different choices and that may lead to something.
something way better that I don't even know is available or for me.
Yep. And that perhaps, I mean, we talked about this the other day, is this being potentially a new paradigm. So within the consciousness community or conversation, there is this idea that there's an ascension in process at the moment for humanity, that there is a shift in collective consciousness. And that, you know, I listened to a channel by Paul Selig, his guides, and but he's not the only one. Those guides aren't the only one to suggest that the new paradigm is about learning through love rather than suffering. Up until now, we've learned through suffering, primarily. Yeah,
I really think even individually, we all have a sense. It's like as a child, there is that knowing that there's something more.
Yes.
We gaze, like we all are held captive by the stars.
Yeah.
As a child, you stare into the stars and with wonder, and we know, like even that wonder tells us we know there's something more.
That's right.
We all have that curiosity and that childlike, that knowing within us.
It's a part of being human and that we've repressed.
But we know, but we also have that knowing that there's something. If you can feel the energetic shifts, but there's something happening that's gaining momentum for humanity at the moment.
Definitely.
And it is this, I call it a soul consciousness that I've come to understand. Mm. And getting into the whole consciousness debate is a fun place that no one really wants to go into.
Yep.
I will bravely step into it because I can't talk about my NDE without addressing what is consciousness. And what exists beyond this physical, what's beyond this physical form. And I now term it as soul consciousness that exists beyond. So I totally agree we have mind consciousness. Of course we have mind consciousness. That ceases when we die.
Mm.
What exists is our soul consciousness, which is one with all consciousness.
Mm.
And that's I love the topic of consciousness. Yeah. I could talk about it all day, every day, and I do. I'm sorry.
Well, luckily, I love it too.
And I do. I will try and contain myself when we have a little chat about it on a podcast episode. I actually do think, I think it's interesting. My curiosity about, and I have, after my near death, come back and read everything I can on consciousness to understand it from the perspective of what I understood it to be in non-physical form.
Mm.
And there's so many theories on consciousness.
Mm.
There is not an agreed, accepted theory of consciousness.
Mm.
There are as many theories on consciousness as there are on so many other things where there's not an agreement.
Yeah.
Even on emotion construct, or there's all these different theories of emotions. Like, we don't understand as much about the mind as we don't understand consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we all bravely step into that conversation with an open mind,
well, that's about required.
What can NDE, what can these, and sometimes I don't even like saying near death experience, because I think I have occasionally mentioned I've had a near death experience and someone says, oh, so have I almost got hit by a car.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's not a near death experience. Yeah. An NDE is you physically, you die, you are clinically dead, you leave your body and go to the other dimension. And everyone has a different experience. We'll talk about that more in
there
the NDE of why
individuals are
of my understanding of why that happens. And I even lost what I was saying.
We were talking about what an NDE can either
teach
shed
us,
light on,
can teach us about consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like everything, it's taught me, not taught me, but expanded my awareness and the knowledge that is just downloaded in an NDE. Yep. And I sometimes call it a death experience because that's what it was for me.
Yep.
It was a death experience.
For you it was, yeah.
I got to come back. I chose to come back. And I think that's got to be dealt with in a very sensitive and delicate manner in that.
Yeah.
Not all death experiences will have that choice.
Yeah.
And that's for a whole nother topic. There's all these different topics within topics.
Mm. which means
this, which is why we had to launch a podcast yeah. so that we can just keep going because episodes will birth episodes and your questions will help us as well.
And I do get a lot of questions and this is a good way for letting a lot of people hear the questions and the answers and what we've want to warble on about.
Yeah, and I'm really delighted to be able to collaborate with Sarah to bring this conversation to you, because I know that this is a fundamental point in your life where you're now stepping into this story, this experience, and owning it and sharing it. And whereas, you know, it all comes back to that integration piece as well around your former life, your NDE, your post-NDE life.
Yeah, and there are a lot of aspects of an NDE that take time to consolidate.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And the wisdom from it. It takes time to sit with it, to fully understand it. It's like, I guess, back in high school when you're given a text, like even an English text, and you read it and you can write an essay on it.
Yeah.
And then if you pick it up, in a couple of years' time and you reread it again and you read it so differently because you're reading it through a different lens.
Yes.
And I think there's that saying or quote that no two people read the same book. And we all read it through our own experience. Yeah. And I think a near-death experience is like that. No two people will have the same experience.
Kind of a work of art, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's that, like, art reveals different layers at different points in your life when you visit it, whether it be an artwork, a painting, or a work of literature, or a poem.
Yeah. And I think it will just be that evolution of soul. Yeah. It's that evolution of understanding and insight and wisdom. It just keeps unfolding. And I even talk about the unfolding process within consciousness. But
and you experienced that within your NDE. You saw that unfolding. So there's so much for us to talk about. It's infinite.
I am very good at talking.
You love a chat.
I love a chat.
And I love a chat too, and I love listening. But we do, before we sign off, I think it'll be really lovely to share with you all that Sarah and I feel like this is part of our purpose in life, to have joined, kind of, we were contracted to do so. And we can talk about soul contracts and, you know, making a decision prior to the incarnation as to what you're going to do. But I really feel that that's so, and I think you do too as well, and how both of our, each of our lives growing differently as we were in our separate fields are now meshing and weaving in such a way that we each bring a particular skill set that's necessary at this point to help this story come out. And the only other thing I'll say at this moment is that just not long before I met Sarah, I set an intention out to the universe, a prayer, a kind of intention, I guess. And that was because I'd been researching NDEs for years prior.
Thinking about interviewing about it. Had you just started thinking about, I'd like to...
I'd sort of had the podcast in mind and launching Spirit Sisters as a podcast. And I actually remember the moment I sat at my desk and I said, bring me an NDE story that's going to change the world. Bring me the person who I'm going to work with, and we're going to get the messages out. Because I had such a conviction based on what I'd read prior, so this was before I met Sarah, that the NDE had insights and wisdom that we could so draw from as human beings to live better lives here today.
And you got me.
And then I got Sarah.
And it won't change the world, but it's changed our worlds.
Well,
our little worlds.
It's changed. Yeah. And who knows, right?
But I think you had done all this research on NDEs.
Yeah.
And I had nothing.
This is the interesting thing.
Nothing to go on. Yeah. So you're the book smart. Your whole life. Your whole life has been investigating and the curiosity.
The invisible, right? Yeah. I've been interested in what we can't see, knowing it's there. And when I started to read about NDEs, for the most part, I had the most extraordinary kind of full body goosebump knowledge that this is truth. What they're experiencing in that dimension is truth. And we can bring it here to learn how to live better lives in the 3D realm too. You know. So,
and I was completely, completely masked to that invisible world. And it's so much more fun living this way. Sensing through not just the senses that we're taught,
yes.
like the five senses, but the whole perception and open awareness of so much more.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun. And I love how we can
have fun.
Look at a day and we can look at the guidance or nudges or signs or synchronicities. I was never aware of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, it's like a treasure hunt.
Yes.
It's just like a fun little, we've got this little treasure map.
Yeah.
That's our life.
Yeah.
And we get to go and search for the little treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when they show up.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's just
the best.
And I'm like, we literally started that little treasure hunt together.
Yeah.
Informally and sort of casually when we met 4 years ago, just recognizing that for some reason we had been bought, and that reason became very unfolded and became very clear to both of us.
It's multi-layered, but
and it's and I think if we do everything with that joy, like, what lights us up? Boy, this lights us up. So let's do it.
Yep. So here we are.
this is us lit up.
This is us lit up. We want you to light up too.
Yeah, doing our thing. And we're now, like, actually broadcasting. What's the word for podcasting? Podcasting. We're in Byron Bay, Australia.
Yeah.
Where I have moved to recently. Yeah. I don't know if you can see. It's very hot.
We're sweaty.
We're actually melting. So we're going to sign off in a moment. We do intend to maybe take this on the road a little bit.
I would
really very much like to take our little podcast on the road. I think we even mentioned that a year ago.
Well, we thought we would take it on the road on the Camino. So we had an idea and an intention of what we wanted to do, which is really just to incorporate this into our lives and share with you our lives, and how we're navigating it, and perhaps that can be of service and of value to you. And we want to hear about how you're navigating life too, and what lights you up.
And I think the way in which I was, and maybe both of us were viewing this prior to the launch, the initial launch, which didn't happen, which I'm glad it didn't.
Soft launch, because it didn't
happen.
Very soft.
It disappeared. Our soft launch, which didn't happen, is that I think we had more of a more narrow view of what this would be.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it wasn't the right time.
I'm way more comfortable with talking about not only my NDE, but all that this human experience is from a very personal level and what we can share with each other about those heartbreaking, those things that break us. I mean, that we all experience things that break us, things that put us on the floor.
Yeah.
And how do we get back up again?
Yep.
And how can we look at it through not just the mind trying to make logical sense of things, and not just the mind trying to work it all out, but is there a place that we can drop into within our heart and even further within our soul that can help us navigate those things and possibly see what there is to learn from it, what opportunities are being presented in the hard or the difficult or the painful or that illness or the grief of losing, the opportunities that are there and the lessons that are there to be seen, to learn. If you don't learn them, they repeat. It's a really hard way to keep doing it. I know I've like rounded myself up for the same lesson. I've lost count of how many times over a decade I let myself learn the same lesson, kept happening. And now I can look back and go, okay, now I understand it. Yeah. That was the lesson. Boy, it'd be nice if someone had sat me down and gone, this, can you see, this is why it keeps repeating. This is, and I find myself doing that more and more now, being able to see the circumstance, the opportunity, the lesson, what's here for me to potentially resolve within myself, or so that you just move past it and to circumnavigate all the pain and suffering that you could just give yourself for the next decade it would be really nice if we can help each other do that.
Yes.
And so I feel if I can be vulnerable enough and authentic enough to talk about everything completely transparently, maybe it helps someone. I know it always helps me to talk it through a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's always sameness in stories.
There is, you know.
There's always someone out there going, oh, same, same.
That's right.
Same, same. So.
And it helps so much to hear that, you know. Mm. Like when you go through something, as you were saying before, you look to another story and you feel met and heard, even if you're just reading it in a book or listening to their story on a podcast. Yeah. So
I think that's why I own like a million books.
Yeah.
Because I've been searching for all the answers within the words of others.
I've been doing that too.
And then the event of podcasts and, I mean, I'm of the age that a lot of it was sought before podcasts and before this whole information basis came about. So books were the source and friends. But there are things that you get to the point where you don't want to talk to anyone about because you're so confused and conflicted within yourself. You don't even know how to articulate you're ashamed.
Yeah, so for me and I think for you as well, this podcast, Soul to Soul Conversations, is also about understanding the beautiful honouring that we do of other stories and that beautiful to and fro at the same time as we also learn to honour our own story and what it is that is within that wants to emerge.
Mm.
And I think our podcast unites those both. We are sharing so much more of ourselves than we've ever shared before.
It's taken me a long time to get comfortable with my own story.
Yes.
And that's as honest as I can get. Yeah. And I don't just mean my near-death experience. Yeah. I mean getting comfortable with my whole story.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's so much in conditioned biases of what's acceptable and what's wrong and what's right and judgment and judging self and that whole self-worth thing.
Like, of course, it's taken self-worth.
Me so much time.
Writing that one down.
Self-worth.
Self-worth and self-love. Ditto. Yeah.
Okay, that's definitely. It's just to get comfortable enough with your own story to help others.
That's right. And that will be of service.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
Where we're ready to just pull back the layers and go, well, this is the story.
Yeah. And our podcast will eventually have guests on there as well. Mm. So we will bring you some other people's truly transformative journeys and amazing stories. So look forward to that as we go on.
Even the stories, I was thinking as we were talking to my son, Oscar, he'll be mortified that I've brought him up. He's 21. But I was even thinking, just in chatting to him, we have so much to learn from this younger generation.
Oh, yeah.
They are just so in tune, a lot of them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or the young adults that I'm exposed to and I talk to. I love listening to their insights. I would love, I don't think my children would be happy to, maybe not. But I would invite and love those sorts of opportunities as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to hear your story.
Yeah. Or anyone else who has had an NDE. I know you're always in search of your next story.
So yes, and we'll talk more in a future episode about Sarah's plans to support people who have had an NDE and are reintegrating, finding that reintegration challenging. Well, Sarah's got some beautiful insights for you, and so we'll explore more of that as we go along.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because I think if I had have had a source to go to say I'm really struggling with being human again.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with this whole human experience and I don't know that I want to do it.
Yeah.
This isn't fun, because that other thing was so much better.
Mm.
I would have loved to have had someone. It's a very isolating experience. Yeah.
I can't imagine, much
like an autoimmune disease.
Yes.
It's also very, and I'm actually, we'll talk a little bit more about autoimmune disease. It's a very isolating experience as well. There's just not much understanding within just general community. What I mean when I talk about it, what is it?
Yeah.
And that's, I've set up a charity for autoimmune disease. I'll mention it. It's called the Autoimmune Project. And basically it was just to, and is, to spread awareness and raise funds, but mainly spread awareness of what autoimmune disease is, and maybe even normalize it a little bit. You don't want to normalize it, but it's an epidemic.
Yep.
And it's affecting, the latest figures are like 85% of autoimmune sufferers are women, a female.
That's
so
huge.
And huge. When we're on the Camino, we were raising funds for the Autoimmune Project. And that actually, because we were wearing the hats, we were branded. And how many people came up to me and had that story of someone in their family who had an autoimmune disease? Just that bringing together of like a community. Yes. And I guess I like setting up little communities now that I think about it, like a little autoimmune community, a little soul
this
community.
This is the time for that, you know. And that's the other thing we talked about when thinking of our launch today. Astrologically, there's this whole thing that I'm learning about, Pluto in Aquarius, and that apparently is the entrance point to a life that is much more community-centered. It's about finding a new way forward with like-minded people, collaborations, raising your voice, you know, this whole interesting thing, which very much speaks to what we're looking to step into right now.
What this whole little show is about.
It's in the stars.
Yeah, it is. Look, timing. It's had to be now.
Yeah.
So this is our little soul community.
Yeah.
But it's,
welcome.
It's yes, welcome, and it's about it all.
Yeah.
This whole human experience.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're here doing.
Yeah.
But how, and integrating soul into that.
Yeah.
And that's really the best way I can just, the only language with which how I can describe.
Yeah.
Where what we're stepping into.
Yeah. Looking at it through the lens of the soul is another way of looking at life through the lens of the soul.
That's the only
way
I can do it.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful way to live.
It's very, very different than looking through the human eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I now liken it to when you, like, if you had, you remember those sunglasses and they have like a lens that goes up and you can click them down? Like they're glasses and the lens goes up and you click them down.
Yep.
It's almost like I feel like I just click down my soul lens and that's what I see through now rather than just through the human eyes.
Yes.
It's actually really funny now that we talk about that because I'm just getting back from an experience of losing my 12
physical
weeks ago,
vision.
Like losing my it's a disease process of my autoimmune disease, losing the vision in one eye and my other eye very significantly compromised. And I can talk about it now with a smile on my face, but it was not a fun experience.
It was very frightening.
And realistically thinking this was going to be life now for me. Yeah. And I'm very lucky that I managed to find a very good retinal surgeon who's managed to rescue my eyesight so that I'm back seeing beautifully and clearly. And oh my God, it's so lovely to see everything. But it's just the experience of that, of living like that for quite a few weeks, I think it was 10 weeks where I was really navigating quite limited vision and also having other symptoms with my autoimmune disease, so not being well and living a very internal landscape again, really heightened that soul experience and not being able to look through the human lens but through the soul lens. So great experience, perfect, because it really just sharpened that soul vision for me a little bit more, which I clearly needed to help me step into and go, right, we're doing this.
Yeah, because that's the thing. And I've known that, you know, just because Sarah's had a near-death experience doesn't mean, you know, that you don't forget these things. And sometimes it's like you get shown again and they're painful experiences to walk through.
It kicks your butt all over again.
Your butt,
it just, you know? it's like that face slap of wake up. And I never really fully go to sleep again like I was before. And I wouldn't want to go back to that state of like that unconscious living. Mm. The unconsciousness of soul is a very uncomfortable way to live. Mm. And I just don't want to go back to that. This is, like I said, so much better. And I like being awake and perceiving through the soul, but we're all in our human jumpsuit.
That's right.
Like wearing the human that jumpsuit.
Density of,
and while you remember and while you can understand through a different perception or a broader or more open perception, you can really easily get thrown back into the emotional turmoil of humanness.
That's right.
And it's very easy to sort of hijack yourself out of soul-aligned living. It is.
Mm.
And I think that's also why you need soul-aligned. Your friends and your community of like-minded people that understand that soul anchoring.
Yeah.
Just to help hold your hand through those shaky bits. I mean, my goodness me, I've had times where the ground feels a little bit shaky again.
Of course. Yeah.
And everyone does. It's, you don't just learn a lesson and then it's smooth sailing.
Yeah, and it's
That's
done.
Not what it's about. Yeah. It's about, okay, we've mastered this. Let's move on to the next one we agreed to do in this lifetime. Sometimes I go, wow, why did I line so many up? Obviously, I wanted to be a little bit of an overachiever in this lifetime. I may have like just had a pass in a few other ones where I didn't do much, but I think I really, really, I know from my NDE and my life review of what I contracted to do in, and I do refer to it as life A or life one, and then NDE, and then life two or life B, very different contracts, and hence me being an almost completely different person.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Mm.
It's just learning who you are in this new contracted agreement with what I'm to do with this bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's been, that's part of the integration. That's part of the reintegration back into something that's not familiar.
Because
it's not familiar.
Mm.
The human jumpsuit is the same, but you feel different in it.
Yeah,
very different within it.
I love what you said about soul-aligned living and anchoring into the soul. And I know that as we go forward, you're going to share your experience of what it's like to feel that soul-aligned living. And we, Sarah's got this little term. It's like a little keyword, lemonade. And when Sarah says lemonade,
as a guide, as a communication.
That means the
a communication tool.
Yeah, which is the fizz of lemonade bubbles and how that feels. And we'll go into all of these things. But there's so much that we want to share. We're excited.
Of how the soul's communicating to you.
Yeah.
Not this way.
How the soul communicates.
It's just that communication system and deciphering a really different language. It's learning to speak soul speak really helps. Like, and it's a new language. It's like I'm trying to learn Spanish. Oh my goodness. Every night I'm sitting doing Duolingo trying to learn it. And
we're in.
And the next night
doing
I'm
very
like,
well.
What was that? And it's attending to it daily.
Yeah.
Daily attending to it to learn, to cultivate the ability to discern the difference between, like I could say, the word the and a. They mean different things.
Yeah.
We understand what they mean. Mm. The soul's communicating and just discerning the subtle difference, and it's so subtle.
It's so subtle. That's why it's important to train and to recognize.
And to get quiet.
Yeah, to get quiet.
To get really quiet and still. And so. I'm never quiet and I'm never still. It's been a big challenge and illness made me so, which was very helpful.
Mm.
Another blessing.
Mm. Very interesting.
Just ground me, like, halt me.
Yeah.
Literally can't do anything for a year.
Yeah.
So sick that, and that's probably another episode of like that identity crisis that comes from.
Yes, we've
and
got
that was
a
all
lot
pre,
to talk
That was
about.
All pre-NDE, that challenge of losing everything that I identified with as me.
Yeah.
That was all taken away with before the NDE. In that year of chemotherapy, I was just everything. Every identifier of who Sarah was pretty much was taken.
I remember, you sharing that, and that's really powerful.
Mm.
And I'm thinking as you talk that in future we could perhaps welcome guests who've had their own experiences of being stripped of everything that they
thought.
Oh, but
we all have, honey, haven't we?
Oh, we've all had.
Or if we haven't, it's coming.
Yes, we've all had a version. You had a particularly extreme one. Because you were so out in the world, so career focused, doing such
so
amazing
stubborn.
Work, and then you were just, you were grounded.
Yeah. But I was unconscious.
And you,
and actually, it's really interesting because all of this started with an unconscious episode when I was 10. like all the little lead-ups to the big NDE. And that's probably another episode of...
When you were 10, you had an experience...
When unconscious.
Yeah.
And then my first NDE when I had my son 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And then having a stroke, a different form of consciousness. And then the end. So four different situations, kind of different progression. Forms of consciousness.
Yeah.
And each of them progressing a little bit along.
A gentle kind of...
It was like an... I don't want to use the word initiation, but it was all preparing me for the big NDE.
Mm.
I'm quite sure of that. It was all getting me acquainted with different states of consciousness and different forms of being in consciousness to prepare me for that. So that I could, I believe, so that I could get the most out of it.
Well, I think that's a really good place to leave it. Talking about your, that amazing experience of your NDE, powerful, devastating, you know, and also just absolutely life-changing. So we're going to come back
next episode.
And Sarah's going to share. Sarah's going to share her near-death
experience. And I think that's a good place to start where we met. Yep. We met with my NDE story.
Yep.
And I think it's really fitting to start this podcast adventure with that story.
Yep.
And the story is everything. Each other's stories.
It's all about stories. From
and how we understand this magnificent life.
Yeah. Tell me your story, you know. That's what so I we'll find start myself with that. Wanting to know people's stories.
You ask everyone that. Tell me your story.
So thank you for joining us on Soul to Soul Conversations. We're so excited. We're so hot and sweaty, but finally thirsty.
We've launched and we've melted.
Yeah. That's how hot we are.
We have melted. But thank you very much for your time, and we will be back
soon.
We're not going to put a time frame on it.
If you want to know more about Sarah, sarahjane.com.
.au, sarahjane.com.au.
Yeah, I'm karinamachado.com. We'll put the links down below and drop us a line.
Yeah, and let us know what you think. Other episodes as well.
Yeah, we'll share the links.
If you remember, because I'm already forgetting.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye. Thanks.